Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And, crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now, a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Jane, for reading the text today for us. Good morning. 新年快乐, 身体健康. A blessed Lunar New Year to all friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Serene. I'm one of the pastors in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Come, let us come to the Lord and pray for His Holy Spirit to guide us today. Dear God, we praise you, for you are our deliverer who seek after us and pursue us regardless of where we are in our walk with you. Lord Jesus, we pray for your presence to fill us here in this congregation. Guide us with your Holy Spirit. Encourage us and awaken us. Speak to us so that we can hear your voice and respond to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are relatively new to our church, we are now on a series on the book of Mark, on the pulpit series, and since the beginning of the year, this is our series. Today, as you have heard, we are covering Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. According to the ancient tale, long time ago, there was this ferocious monster in the deep sea with sharp teeth and horn called Nian. It would come to the earth every time in the beginning of the Lunar New Year to hunt for the human being and their livestock. The people in the village were so afraid of this monster Nian. Every time, every year this time, they would run to the mountain and hide themselves from being eaten by the monster. Year after year, they were powerless to overcome this monster. The only thing that they could do was to run away. But one day, there was an old man came to the village on the eve of Chinese New Year. The villagers persuaded him not to stay in the village, but to run with them to the mountain, lest he also be eaten by the monster. But somehow, this old man refused to go, and he insisted to stay in the village to fight the monster. At midnight, the monster Nian came. It sensed that there was something different in the atmosphere in this village. Normally, it was dead darkness. But that night, he sensed that there was light in the house, in one of the houses, and he went over to see. When the monster came and saw that the door and the windows of the house were pasted with red papers and the candles in the house lighted up brightly, it trembled and squalled. At that very moment, there was loud sound, cracking sound at the back of the courtyard that scared the monster. And the old man came out of the house wearing all red, roaring with laughter. The Nian was so frightened that it ran away. It turned out that this monster was afraid of red color and loud cracking sound. It fled the village that night and never dared to come back again. The villagers later realized that these were the things that could prevent the monster from coming. So from then on, every year, they dressed up in red, pasted red couplets on their doors and windows, burned firecrackers to scare away the monster. This is the Chinese New Year legend, which Chinese believe and continue with the tradition till today. This ancient Chinese New Year legend shows us that the people then were suffering in bondage of the monster Nian. We may not have the monster Nian chasing us after us today, but we are also trapped. Are we also trapped in some form of bondages? In our passage today, Jesus freed a man from terrible bondage and gave him a new life. The passage opens with the disciples and Jesus came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasim. So far, from Mark chapter 1 to 4, Jesus had been ministering along the west side of the sea around Capernaum area. But in this passage, in this chapter today, we notice that they came to Gerasim, the other side of the sea. Right before chapter 5, in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we were told that on that day, when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Jesus specifically told the disciples to cross to the other side of the sea. Jesus planned to go to this place. This place, called the country of Gerasim, scholars cannot find which is the place exactly today. But the text gave us some clue on what type of place this is. We saw that there were pigs in this area. And at the end of the passage, we noticed that the men proclaim in Decapolis. Decapolis refers to a region with 10 cities. The inhabitants here were mainly Gentiles. Jesus intentionally came to this place where it is considered unclean to the Jews. Verse 2 says, "And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." It is not a coincidence that the man happened to be there to see Jesus, but Jesus knew that this man was there. In other words, Jesus came all the way to the other side of the sea to meet this man, whom he knew was in a very terrible state. Brothers and sisters, Jesus knows what we are going through. This man did not know Jesus, but Jesus wanted to set him free. We may not be like this man or in this man's state, but if you ever feel like you are isolated, alone, no one understands your situation, and you are enduring the pain within, it feels like no way out. If this is you, the Lord wants to tell you that no one knows, He knows where you are and what you are going through, and He will come to you. Then the text in verses 3 to 5 told us more about this man. Mark, the author of this book, is someone who goes straight to the point. Normally, he doesn't give a lot of description or talk about the details when he records. But then, here in verses 3 to 5, we see that this man who was possessed by the unclean spirit was described in detail by Mark. First, he lived amongst the tomb on the mountain. He was controlled by the unclean spirit. He was tormented, always crying and hurt himself. What was Mark trying to convey with the detail of description here? This man is isolated from his family and friends. He was alone. People in the village were very scared of him. He was totally controlled by demons that had the power to break the chains. He had no control over his life. He couldn't live according to his will. He was tormented by the demon, and the demon caused him to cut himself and wanted to destroy him. In short, this man is bound by the demons, helpless, desperate, and miserable. Only God can save him. Brothers and sisters, friends, we could also be living in bondage today. We all need Jesus to deliver us. The devil does not need to literally possess us to cause us into bondage. What are the devil's schemes or its tricks which we should be cautious of today? It could come in many forms. You know, when I was working in the school, once a parent shared with me that she had problem managing her son's obsession with his game. Her son was only in primary 6 then. The situation was so bad that whenever she tried to stop him from playing his online game, he would become hysterical and at times even hurt her. This is not the only case that I heard whereby a child is addicted to online gaming. Next, according to Thirst, back in 2019, Singapore was already facing a problem with porn. In that article, it was reported that 51% of Christian youth and young adults viewed porn at least once in that year. That means 1 in 2 of the young adult or youth in that year, 2019, viewed at least once porn. It is an alarming trend. It could be worse now. It is so easy to be hooked by all these things around us and cast us into bondage. Furthermore, today in our advanced digital society, we are more than connected than before. We can't live without our handphone. Our days are constantly being interrupted by text messages, notifications, advertisements, Instagram posts, email, and so on and so forth. We do not even know that our brain is already trained to crave distractions, which means it becomes a second nature. Every single moment when we are silent, we would look at our phone. In the MRT, at the coffee shop, we can see so many people are controlled by their handphone. If we are not careful, these distractions are harmful to our relationship with God. We could spend hours and hours toggling from one app to another, and at the end, we are too tired to read God's word, too lazy to pray. Brothers and sisters, if we are not on guard, we could be easily fallen prey to the devil's schemes in this world and living in bondage. Let us ask the Holy Spirit for discernment to see, is there anything we need to stand firm, and ask God to help us in avoiding living in bondage. But fret not, Jesus has the power and authority to save us. From verse 6 onwards, we saw a dialogue between Jesus and the demons. If we read the text carefully, we notice that Jesus was the one to speak to the demon-possessed man first. From afar, Jesus saw the man and he told him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then the man ran and fell down before Jesus and cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." Interestingly, Jesus asked for the demon's name. And the demon answered him, "His name is Legion." Technically, that was not the demon's name. Legion is a military term in the Roman Empire, which refers to an average of 5,000 soldiers. Here, the demon told Jesus that there were many of them possessing the man's body. That's why they are called Legion. But we really don't know how many demons were there. What is even weirder was that the demon saw that there was a great herd of pigs feeding nearby. They begged Jesus to send them to the pigs, and Jesus gave them the permission to do so. By now, what have you observed from this part of the story? Can you see that though the demons are so many as a legion, and could torment the man powerfully, when they saw Jesus, they immediately recognized and acknowledged that he was the Son of the Most High God? This is not the first time Jesus met a demon-possessed man. In Mark chapter 1, verses 23 to 24, when Jesus was in Capernaum at the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit saw him and cried out to him, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Then in Mark chapter 3, verse 11, recorded for us, "And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, 'You are the Son of God.'" All the demons know who Jesus is, and they are afraid of him. The demons have to do what Jesus commanded them to do. Though the man was in bondage, Jesus has the power to deliver him free. So what have we covered in the first point so far? First, Jesus sought after this demon-possessed man who was in bondage, so we could count on him too. Then we talk about how the man is miserable and desperate under bondage. And if we are not careful, we could fall prey to the devil's schemes. But the great news is Jesus has the power and authority to deliver anyone who are in bondage, just like how he sent the demons to the pigs. Unfortunately, not all want to be saved by Jesus. Let's look at the responses of the herdsmen and the people in that place. Verses 14 and to 16 show us that the herdsmen were so scared when they saw what happened to the pigs. They ran away and told the people in the city. When they came to see the man well-dressed in his right mind, they were afraid. Then in verse 17, we saw that they even asked Jesus to depart from their region. In other words, Jesus is not welcome to stay in their place. What could be the reason for their response? The Bible didn't tell us why. But from the text, some commentators gave us a possible reason. The herdsmen could be traumatized by what had happened to their pigs and afraid that these kind of things would happen again if Jesus stayed longer. After all, it could be the first time this type of miracle happened. They were fearful of the power of Jesus. Even when they saw this man in his right mind, instead of rejoicing with the man, they were afraid. Rather than treating Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, as a treasure, the people saw Jesus and his power as a threat to their livelihood, a threat to the way they live. Sometimes we too see Jesus as a threat. A person who is addicted to gaming or Korean drama would find quitting a tough action to take. To obey Jesus means no more enjoyment. Someone who has been playing golf on Sundays will see Jesus as a threat to his pleasure if he becomes a believer. Even though we know that Jesus is good for our soul, our stubborn selves would still choose to indulge in our flesh rather than yield to the Lord. Now let us look at the response of the man who was delivered by Jesus. Verse 18 says, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. Here, we see that this man whose life had been set free was excited to follow his Savior Jesus. That's why he begged to go with him. However, Jesus did not let the man go with him. Instead, he told the man to go home to his family and friends with a mission, to tell them how much the Lord has done for him and how he has had mercy on him. And this man was grateful to Jesus in setting him free. He obeyed what Jesus told him to do. He went away proclaiming in the region how much Jesus had done for him, and people listened to him were marveled. This man was the first Gentile missionary whom Jesus sent. Linda Kuhl is 83 years old. She was a medium for 40 years before she gave her life to Jesus in 2018. In this Sword and Light article, she said when she was a medium, she was given the power from her deity to do many things. But each time, after her trance and her connection with the dark forces, she would be exhausted and needed to have cleansing rituals regularly. She always had to please her deity. If he was unhappy, Linda would be tormented. She couldn't eat or sleep. In 2018, Linda and her husband followed one of their daughters to church, and she was moved by the fact that God loves her. She started to ask her deity to release her from bondage. But that wasn't easy. One day, when they had a gathering in a restaurant, Linda again wrestled in the spirit realm. She became hysterical and entered a trance. In the restaurant, she was screaming, twisting her body, and pounding the table until teacups flew, cutlery clatters to the floor. With her in the restaurant were one of her church leaders and some church members. They were praying for her on the spot. Eventually, the deity left her, and she fainted in the restaurant. When she regained consciousness, she realized that people in the restaurant witnessed the entire episode, and 9 of the restaurant staff approached them and asked to be saved. That day, Linda and her husband, together with the 9 restaurant staff, gave their life to Jesus. Today, even though in their 80s, Linda and her husband share their story freely and often in church or outside church. Linda even carries printed copies of her testimony to give away when the opportunity arises. Linda's daughter initially thought it was impossible for Linda to be saved, but God was the one who seeked after Linda. Though Linda was under great bondage by the deity, Jesus' power and authority delivered her through the prayer of her church leader and the members. Linda is like this man in this story. Her life has been set free and transformed. Even in her old age, she chooses to share how much the Lord has done for her. Brothers and sisters, Jesus not only had the power to set the demon-possessed man free in the past, even today, he is still the mighty one to save. Let us run to Jesus consistently and share what he has done for us with our family and friends. Now, let us take a moment to reflect and speak to God. There are a few questions I want us to ask ourselves. Come, let's quieten our hearts, and I'll ask a few questions. First question, is there anything in your life now that's taking control of you? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. You may not even be aware. Ask God to help you to break away from whatever that is. Know that Jesus has the authority and power to set you free. The next question, who is Jesus to you? recall what he has done for you on the cross. Recall the works that he has done in your life. Give him thanks and praise him. Dear God, we are incapable of saving ourselves. Please have mercy on us, all your creatures. Continue to speak to us even after this message today, to reveal to us on what are the risks of us under bondage of the evil one. Please help us to discern with humility and ask for your help. Jesus, we praise you and thank you, for you are the Son of the Most High God, who died and raised from the dead to redeem us from all bondage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, as a response to God's word, let us rise and let us sing this song, Living Hope. And let us proclaim that truly we are free from bondage and sin because he is our living hope. From verse 2.
Who could imagine so great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken.
Salvation.
are the one who has given us freedom from bondage over sin. Please help us to live as your people, your children, who are free from bondage over addiction, obsession, from any self-seeking pleasure, Lord. And help us to put you first in our lives, that we may share of who you are to others around us, that others too may know of your saving grace and believe in you, our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All this we pray in your mighty name. Amen.